Reading from third canto, chapter 6, text 9. Satyatma sadhi devascha sadhi bhutai tritha viratrano dasavidha ekadha hridayena cha satyatma sadhi devascha Sadhyatma. The body and mind with all the senses. Sadhi Deva and the controlling demigods of the senses, cha and Sadhi Bhuta, the present objective, iti, thus, tridha, there, virat, gigantic. Prana, moving force, dasavidha, ten kinds, ekedha, one only, hridayena, living energy, cha, also. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. The gigantic universal form is represented by 3, 10, and 1 in the sense that He is the body and the mind and the senses. He is the dynamic force of all movements by 10 kinds of life energy, and He is the one heart where life energy is generated. The purport is a little bit long, so try to be as focused as possible. In Bhagavad Gita 7, 4, and 5, it is stated that the 8 elements, earth, water, fire, air, sky, mind, intelligence, and false ego are all products of the Lord's inferior energy. Whereas living entities who are seen to utilize the inferior energy originally belong to the superior energy, the internal potency of the Lord. The 8 inferior energy work grossly and subtly, whereas the superior energy works as the central generating force. This is experienced in the human body. The gross elements, namely earth, etc., form the external gross body and are like a coat, whereas the subtle mind and false ego act like the inner clothing of the body. The movement of the body are first generated from the heart, and all the activities of the body are made possible by the senses, powered by 10 kinds of air within the body. The 10 kinds of air are described as follows. The main air passing through the nose in breathing is called prana. The air which passes through the rectum as evacuating bodily air is called apana. The air which adjusts the foodstuff within the stomach and which sometimes sounds as belching is called samana. The air which passes through the throat and the stoppage of which constitutes suffocation is called the udana air. And the total air which circulates throughout the entire body is called vyana air. Subtler than these five air, there are others also. That which facilitates the opening of the eye, mouth, etc. is called naga air. The air which increases appetite is called krikara air. The air which helps contraction is called kurma air. The air which helps relaxation by opening the mouth wide in yoni is called devadatta air. And the air which helps sustain is called dhananjaya air. You know, all these things are happening in the body. So many things. And I will discuss more about this. All these airs are generated from the center of the heart, which is one and only. The central energy is superior energy of the Lord, who is seated within the heart with the soul of the body, who acts under the guidance of the Lord. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita 15:15 as follows. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto mataha smritir jnanam apohanam cha vedasya sarvai ahameva vidya vedanta krit vedavit eva chaham. The complete central force is generated from the heart of the Lord, who is seated there and who helps the conditioned souls in remembering and forgetting. The conditioned state is due to the soul's forgetfulness of his relationship or subordination of the Lord. One who wants to continue to forget the Lord is helped by the Lord to forget him birth after birth. But one who remembers him by dint of association with the devotee of the Lord is helped to remember him more and more. Thus, the conditioned soul can ultimately go back home, back to Godhead. This process of transcendental help by the Lord is described in Bhagavad Gita 10:10 as follows. Tesam satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. The buddhi yoga process of self-realization with intelligence transcendental to the mind, devotional service, can alone elevate one from the conditioned state of material entanglement, is in the cosmic construction. The conditioned state of the living entities is like a person who is within the depth of a huge mechanical engagement. The mental speculators can reach the point of buddhi yoga after many, many lifetimes of speculation. But the intelligent person who begins from the platform of intelligence above the mind makes rapid progress in self-realization because the buddhi yoga process entails no fear of deterioration, of retrogression at any time. It is the guaranteed path to self-realization as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 2:40. The mental speculators cannot understand that the two birds, Satasvara Upanishad, sitting in one tree are the soul and the super soul. The individual soul eats the fruit of the tree, while the other bird does not eat the fruit, but only observes the activities of the eating bird without attachment. witnessing bird helps the fruit-eating bird perform fruitful activities. One who cannot understand this difference between the soul and the super soul, or God and the living entities, is certainly still entanglement of the cosmic machinery, and thus must still wait the time when he will be free from the bondage. So, Prabhupada literally summarizes the principal factors of the teachings of the Vedas, or scriptures. You can take this purport and simply try to understand and implement in practical life the teachings of Prabhupada. This particular purport is like the essence of Vedic scriptures. The first point Prabhupada makes here is everything is his. Everything is controlled by him. There's so much information is given. So much scientific process is there. Simply for this body to function. And even in 2015, tens of millions and billions of dollars have been spent to figure out this body. And Prabhupada, simply he describes how this air in the body, it's functioning, which is not under your control. Sometime it may seem like it's under your control. Like for example, this hand. I want to move, I'm moving it. So it seems like it's under my control. I have the capacity to do what I want to do. But it's not like that. When you are sick and you're extremely weak and you want to move your hand, can you move your hand? Can you walk? Can you digest pizza when your stomach is not right? No. You can't. First of all, we don't even know how this body functions. Seriously. The scientists can't even now figure out consciousness, the difference between life and death. But here Prabhupada, he says it. And that's why Prabhupada wanted to build this Vedic planetarium in Mayapur. It's called the Temple of Vedic Planetarium, because Prabhupada wanted the people of the world to come and see the real science. And you decide which is more practical, which makes more sense. The Big Bang Theory, everything just popped out of nowhere, or there is a creator behind. There was someone who created this microphone, not just bang, there's a sound and then here comes the microphone. Or somebody actually sat and created this microphone. So, the first principle of this purport is to accept that everything is his energy. First, you know, these elements, bhumira panalo vayo kamano buddhire vacha ahamkaritiyamme bhinna prakriti rashtaka. The elements are created by the Lord, not you, not me. We didn't create earth, water, fire, air, ether. So that principle, first we need to accept that am not the creator. I did not make this principle elements. What we do, we take these two elements and manipulate and try to use it for us. That's what we're doing. But the creator is Krishna. And us, did we create ourselves? No. Aparaya mitvastanyam prakritim vidhime param jiva bhuta mahabaho yedam dharite jagat. We're also his. Krishna says, aham bija pradapita. So the elements is not created by us. We are not created by ourselves. So what is this such a huge fuss that we are so this or that? It's Krishna who has done everything. He is the creator. He is the maintainer. He does the destruction. And Prabhupada later says, Dadami buddhi yogam tam. Mataha smritir jnanam apohanam cha. He gives forgetfulness. He gives remembrance. So what is our value? We don't create. We don't maintain. We don't do destruction. We can't even remember. We can't even forget. So if you scrutinously study the so-called thinking that, I am something, it literally makes no sense. At the same time, we are responsible for our activities. We can't blame everything in Krishna. Oh, I slapped you. It's not my desire, it's Krishna's desire. Therefore, I slapped you. Oh, I'm doing sinful activities. It's not my responsibility. He's the cause of all causes. So, I'm doing the sinful activities. No. Yesterday we talked about the marginal energy. Tatastha Shakti. So as Tatastha Shakti, we can decide what we want to do. We want to forget Krishna, or we want to remember Krishna. And Prabhupada talks about in this purport. If you want to remember Krishna, he helps you. You want to forget Krishna, Prabhupada says he'll make you forget life after life. So it is our desire. Krishna bhuli jai jir anadi bahir mukh ataye mayatare dai sansaradi dukh. We wanted to enjoy separately from Krishna. Therefore, we are here. Danda jane raja jana nodite chubai. What is that? Is just like, say you did a mistake and the king gives you the punishment. What's the punishment? He takes you and put you under the water. Chubai means put you under the water where you can't breathe. How long can you stay without breathing? How many? 2 minutes? 3? 5? 2 minutes, right?
Maximum
2 minutes. Huh? Maximum 2 minutes. Doctor says. Maximum 2 minutes. And when you're about to just die, you can't take it anymore. At that time, he takes you out of the water. And you feel like, wow, it's so nice. This place is beautiful. As soon as you think like that, he puts you under the water again. Khone uthaye, khone chubaye. And then you are under water again and you suffer. And then when you are just about to be destroyed, he takes you out. And therefore, we get very confused. We get very confused in a sense of There's so much material facilities in this world that we tend to forget that this is a place of suffering. You all the time think this place of suffering when you eat ice cream, when you have some good food, when you're driving a good car, when you have a nice house, when you have all the material facilities, sometimes you feel it's not bad. That is like just a moment of out of the water. And then you're old, diseased, and death. Where do you go again? Under the womb. Is that the 5-star hotel? No. So in this cycle of birth and death, we just go round and round and round and round and round. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatharesayana. Again birth, again death, again old age, again disease. And this cycle of birth and death, it's very interesting. Because we get, our attachment to this material world is so strong, extremely strong. And therefore, some facilities we get, we forget the whole picture of this world. Therefore, a constant touch with the devotees, constant touch with the scriptures, constant touch with the holy name keeps you awake. And therefore, jeev jago, jeev jago, Gaura Chandra bole. Wake up, sleeping soul, wake up. Next, Prabhupada talks about mental speculation. We all like to speculate about everything, including Krishna, including scriptures. My Guru Maharaj, Japtaka Maharaj, he was saying that, you know, the level of speculation. So he was saying, he was giving a class somewhere and he was saying the glories of the holy name. Our holy name is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Koli kale naam rupe Krishna avatar. The Supreme Lord comes as the holy name. So he raised his hand. He says, Maharaj, what you say is not right. The real truth is, the real energy comes from nothing. And that's the absolute truth. So he asked, what does that mean? Everything comes from nothing, that's absolute truth. He said, everything comes from emptiness. Even this energy for energy that you all get while chanting comes from emptiness. So he asked, explain, what is that? When you chant Hare Krishna, the energy comes from emptiness. So he said, when you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So if you chant, you go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. You take some breathing space, right? That's empty space. So the energy comes from that emptiness, not from the Maha Mantra. It's mental speculation. You just come up with some obscure, some weird concepts. Of course, we have our own mental speculation. You know, it's like exercise. Exercise is very important. So naturally, you know, you go and you do exercise one day, the second day, third day gets quite difficult. Actually, someone who can actually continuously do exercise, it's pretty tough. It's not very easy. You can try. It's quite tough, actually. So we come up with new things. No, I do exercise. You know, my exercise is, I jump to conclusions. You jump to conclusion. You twist the truth, and you stretch the lies. You bend the rules, and you know, you push your luck. You lift your egos, and you run from tough situations. You're absolutely fit. We deviate from the principles. One time Mahaprabhu was, he was in the house of Mukunda and Sanjay, and he is glorifying the holy name, saying how Krishna is the holy name, and Iha hoite sarva siddhi hoive sabar. You get Krishna prem through the holy name. At that time, one Brahmana student came and he said, Pandit, told Mahaprabhu, he says, Pandit, what you say about the holy name, these are all flowery words. He told this to the Lord, that what you say about the holy name, these are all flowery words. So what he did, Mahaprabhu just got up and he left. So the student, that Brahmana student who told him that what you're saying is the flowery words, he followed him because Mahaprabhu didn't say anything to him. Normally, and you see, there's so many conversations, people are asking him and he's trying to preach to them. But today, when this Brahmana student said that these are all flowery words, Mahaprabhu just walked. He just didn't say anything. He got up and left. The student followed him to see why he didn't respond to me. So Mahaprabhu jumped into the Ganga with all his clothes. Just jumped. Because he thought, this is such an offensive statement. This association with non-devotees, therefore he thought he needed to be purified. So he just went and jumped into the Ganga. So one is our own mental speculation that we make up, mental speculations. Second, other people makes up stuff and tells you what is absolute truth. It's a very, very confusing situation. And therefore, when Tapan Mishra, when Mahaprabhu went to Bangladesh and Tapan Mishra asked him, this is way before Mahaprabhu actually went to Gaya, when he went to Bangladesh to preach, this is his first travel outside Navadvip. He hasn't gone outside of Nadia. First time he's going out of Nadia, he went to Bangladesh. Why he chose Bangladesh? Man, it's explained because Bangladesh is known as Pandava Varjita Desh, very inauspicious place. Why? Because Pandavas did not visit there. So Mahaprabhu chose a place which is considered very inauspicious, very low. The Lord went there. Many preached the holy name. Tapan Mishra came and he asked him, my dear, because Tapan Mishra had a dream that all his doubts can be clarified by this person. So he went and he said, I had a dream about you and I have a question to ask. I would like to know sadhya and sadhan. I would like to know the goal of life and the process. You know what the first thing Mahaprabhu told him before he got into any discussion? He said, please understand, Ishwar bhajanati durgam apar. So please understand, worshipping Krishna, worshipping the absolute truth is durgam. It's a very difficult path. And apar means very difficult to come on the other side. Other side means, but you follow the process and come to the conclusion. It's extremely difficult. And therefore, Jugadharma sthapiya chhe kori parachar. Therefore, the Jugadharma is there. Harinam Sankirtan. Satya sadhan tatta jekuchu sakal, Harinam Sankirtan milive sakal. He says, whatever you want to know about the goal of life and the process, everything is there in the holy name. He made it very, very simplified process. So this is the first paragraph about first paragraph of Prabhupada's purport, where he talks about everything emanates from me, from the Lord, and there is hardly any control that we all have. The second paragraph, Prabhupada talks about the life air. But we hardly even know how this functions. We are breathing, we are eating, things getting digested, but there's so many intricacies, there's so many complications, the process, it's very, very difficult to understand. Simply by understanding these things, Prabhupada in the, I think it's on the seventh chapter, Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says, if someone understands that from Mahavishnu's pores all the universes came, then Garbhodakshaya Vishnu enters and he makes so many varieties. Then Kshirodakshaya Vishnu enters as super soul. Simply by understanding this, one gets freed from material bondage. It sounds very simple, right? We all know that, right? Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. One is the Paramatma for the entire cosmic, other one is the Paramatma for each universe, the other one is the Paramatma for each and every atom. Simply by understanding these principles, we can get freed from material bondage. It means that we accept that we are extremely insignificant and they are the Supreme Lords. And you accept that principle and we try to practice that principle in our daily, day-to-day life with Mahaprabhu's principles of Harinam Sankirtan Milive Sakal. That's all. You get freed from material bondage. There's a pastime about the air. Mahaprabhu got, he started exhibiting love of Godhead. Now as you know that in Navadvip during Mahaprabhu's time there were so many pandits. So many pandits. Everyone is a pandit. And everyone has their own process. So when first time Mahaprabhu exhibited love of Godhead, no one has seen that before. And you know, he used to cry, roll on the ground, jump high, fall down, fall unconscious, and then take a stick and try to beat somebody, and then scream and cry and so many things. So Satchimata naturally got very worried about his son. So he asked different pandits, what is this disease that my son has? And please give the remedy to fix it. So different pandits gave different methods. One pandit said, you should simply tie him up. That's all. He shouldn't move, because if he moves, because his real problem is his different air in the body is not functioning properly. Here Prabhupada talks about the different airs, no? So the pandits of Navadvip told Satchimata that the air of mice in the body is not functioning. Therefore this problem. So how do you do that? You have to make him steal. How do you make him steal? You tie him up on the rope, you tie his hands and tie his legs, and you just tie him up. Some other pandit said, no, this is not the way to do. You have to feed him Shiva Krita, means there is a type of ghee. It's called ghee, right? The type of ghee, that ghee's name is Shiva, Shiva Krita. You have to make him drink that. Then the air in Nimai's body will function properly. Other pandits said, no, this is not the right. What you need to do, you need to bring this type of oil and rub on his head, and then he will cool down. Then his air will function properly. In this way, each pandit came and gave a solution, because they all thought Mahaprabhu had some difficulties with his air. 10 types of air wasn't functioning properly. Mahaprabhu heard all this. Everyone is talking about so many solution because he thinks he has some bio dose, some air dysfunctional. So Mahaprabhu thought, maybe I should ask, maybe I have that. Yeah, this is a pastime. So when the Shivas Thakur came, and as soon as Mahaprabhu saw Shivas Thakur, at that time Mahaprabhu was actually doing parikrama to Tulsi Devi. So Shrivas Thakur, as soon as he came, Mahaprabhu saw him. Mahaprabhu was already in ecstatic love of Godhead. Then he sees Shrivas Thakur. His love increases so many times more. And he exhibits love of Godhead very intensely. then he cools down. Then he told Shrivas Thakur, "My dear Shrivas Thakur, everyone says that I have vayu dosha. Everyone says that I have this air problem in the body. You have seen me. What do you say? What type of air problem I have? Can you please tell me? Because I would like to know, and I'd love to cure this disease. Because everyone thinks I'm a crazy man, and my mother is very worried. So please tell me what type of disease I have and what's the cure." Srivas Thakur says to the Lord, he says, "My dear Nimai Pandit, please understand the disease that you have. Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma is hankering for this disease. And I am begging to the Lord, when will I have the same disease as you?" He says, "You don't have air disease. You have love of Godhead." So Mahaprabhu indicated to Srivas he should tell the same thing to Mother Sachi, because Mother Sachi is very worried. So Srivas Thakur went to Mother Sachi and said, "Your son doesn't have any disease. Your son has ecstatic love of Godhead." This is, you saw how the pandits, they speculate. Prabhupada talks about mental speculation. Durgam apar. Devotional service is sometimes very, very difficult to understand, to comprehend. And there is every chance to get bewildered, to get confused. I'm here for last few days, and one person came up to me the other day, and he said that, you know, she's not here today. So she told me that, "You know why I come to Hare Krishna temple?" I said, "No." She said, "I don't want to come, but I always end up coming." I was like, "Why you don't want to come?" She said, "Because I'm scared of Hare Krishna. Because I have this vision that I'm dead, and then there is a cloth over me and Hare Krishna is written there. So every time I see Hare Krishna, it reminds me of death. Therefore I don't come." And I went to my Guruji, and my Guruji told me that you should go to Krishna temple. So every time I try to go to Krishna temple, I end up in ISKCON temple. I don't know why, I don't know how. And that day she was here, because we were chanting, I think it was a Sunday or something. So she was there chanting almost for 2 hours with all of us. He said, but now I don't have any more fear. Now I feel joy when I chant Hare Krishna. All my fear has gone. And now every time I see Hare Krishna, I'm actually very happy. Because I feel like this will save me from the danger of death. She had something. She came in contact with Prabhupada. She came in contact with the devotees. Now, it's clear. So long you are not in touch with the devotees, it's a very confusing, complicated process, devotional service. But if you are in touch with the devotees, then things becomes very, very easy. Even with us, yes, we are in association with the devotees. We come and listen to Bhagavatam class every day. We drink Charanamrita. We chant Hare Krishna. We sing the Lord. And we hear senior devotees. But still there is a danger. And I'll give you one interesting story from Mahaprabhu. You'll understand how careful we have to be. It is the story of Murari Gupta Prabhu. You know Murari Gupta Prabhu, right?
Yeah.
Who was he?
Hanuman.
Exalted devotee. And Mukunda. Mukunda was very close to Mahaprabhu. So one day Mahaprabhu was sitting with Mukunda, Murari Gupta, and Advaita Chari. And other devotees are there. So Murari Gupta Prabhu, So Advaita Chari told Mahaprabhu, he says, my Lord, Murari Gupta and Mukunda has developed an alloyed devotional service in their heart. And they have this bhav of sentiment of dasya bhav, servitorship. And they have been, their hearts are clean and they are serving you very nicely. So Mahaprabhu got very angry at Advaita Acharya. So Advaita, you speak like this. You think Murari Gupta's heart is clean. It's not clean. He was very angry. You think Mukunda's heart is clean. It's not clean. So everyone got very surprised. Because everyone knows both Mukunda and Murari Gupta is highly elevated devotees. And here is the Lord. Is he saying in Mukunda's and Murari Gupta's back? No, he's saying right in their front. Right in front of them. So their hearts are not clean. So immediately Mukunda and Murari Gupta Prabhu start to tremble in fear. And their face becomes so dry, they feel so sad. The Lord is saying our heart's not clean. He gave an example. He said their approach, their hearts, the tendency, it stings like garlic. You know, garlic has a very strong smell. Now, I don't know, maybe some of you like the smell of garlic. I have allergic. If I smell garlic, I won't be able to eat for many, many hours. For Mahaprabhu, the smell of garlic, he said it stings. He used the word Durgandha. Durgandha means really bad smell. So the devotees got surprised. He said, how is Murari Gupta Prabhu and Mukunda's approach, their attitude, their consciousness can sting like garlic? So Advaita Acharya asked, said, my Lord, what are you talking about? Then the Lord revealed, he said, Murari Gupta is still attached to the yoga shastras. of Vaishishta. He is doing devotional service, but he is still attached to some other scriptures. So Advaitacharya said, what's wrong with that? He said, what's wrong with that? Mahaprabhu said, if someone is diving in the ocean of eternal ecstasy, why would that person be attached to a small tiny water somewhere there, somewhere in some neglected place? He did not tolerate anything else other than pure devotional service. No tinge of anything else. And if something is there, the Lord described as Rosuner Durgandha. He rejected it like a bad smell of garlic. So what Prabhupada gave is pure unalloyed devotional service. That's what you said, Shuddha Bhakti, Prema Bhakti means unalloyed devotional service, not mixed with anything. And it has to be kept like that in pure state. So we are striving for that. We are striving for that. And therefore, we have to be extremely careful that we don't get contaminated by any other material elements, which is extremely difficult, I tell you. Extremely difficult. Because in Kali Yuga, to stay in that pure state is almost impossible. Kalor dosa nidhe rajan, it's a nidhi, it's an ocean of faults. And therefore to stay in that pure state, it's very difficult. And therefore Prabhupada in this purport talks about association of devotees who are pure. It's extremely important that we stay very protected. And Prabhupada was very, very particular about that. When he saw some devotees going a little bit this way, that way, he would straighten it out. And he was very, very particular. When a devotee, a disciple of his, went to one other temple other than ISKCON, Prabhupada immediately called him. Why did you go there? What was the purpose? He asked in detail. And this incident happened many, many times. In Vrindavan, in Mayapur, of course, you know, we don't have many temples in here other than ISKCON temples. But in India, temples are everywhere. Right? So, you know, today you have, you know, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, and then something is there, you go there, you know, some rasa tattva is going on, some discussion. So you want to hear, you know, Krishna's, you know, some divine pastime, so you go there, somebody is talking about Gopi Bhav. You know, you go to Gopi Bhav and, you know, someone says, you know, I'll tell you your swarup. You know, your guru hasn't told you, I'll tell you your swarup. Prabhupada knew about all this. And there's so many instances. Somebody went, Prabhupada called him immediately. And Prabhupada heard this devotee went there, immediately called. Why did you go? It's not necessary. And then one devotee went, this is in Mayapur. I heard the story directly from him. I don't mention the names. But he is a very senior devotee. And Mr. Prabhupada heard that he went to the other temple for something. So Prabhupada heard, immediately called him. Why did you go? So Prabhupada, we went with the kirtan to take darshan. And then they asked me to speak something about Krishna. I said, so what did you say? Prabhupada, I spoke about you. Oh, very nice. Prabhupada wanted us to be very chaste to him and his mission. It's extremely important that we stay very, very chaste to Prabhupada and his followers. Because this is a protected place. And you go outside of this protected area, then there is a chance of getting deviated. And this has been exemplified by so many wonderful pastimes. And Mahaprabhu told to Tapan Mishra, always remember this word, Durgam Apar. Ishwar Bhajan Oti. Oti means extreme. Durgam, extreme difficult path. So, when something is extremely difficult path and you want to cross, you want to go through that path, how careful you have to be. You don't listen to everybody. You're in a very tight spot. You have to be extremely careful. So you don't listen to those pandits that someone came, he said, tie up Mahaprabhu because he has air. Somebody says, eat the ghee. Somebody says, put the oil. And somebody says this and somebody says that. No. We stay extremely chaste to Prabhupada. I'll end today's class by... Today is Ganga Sagar Mela. You know all that, right? Today is Ganga Sagar Mela. Means today the Ganges enters the ocean to revive the ancestors of Bhagirath. I'll tell you one. You all know the appearance of Mother Ganges in the spiritual world. You all know, right? Yes, no? Yes, no? It was Kartik Purnima. And Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma and other demigods all gathered for a festival. Who was there? Krishna was there. Whose festival was it? It was Krishna's festival. Who is the organizer of the festival? Was Krishna himself. He is worshipping someone. Who is that person? He is Srimati Radharani. Krishna made a festival, like we do festivals, Prabhupada, Vyas Puja, Janmashtami, Radhastami. So today, Krishna decided he wants to celebrate a huge festival. And when Krishna himself is organizing the festival, how amazing was that? So naturally everyone came. And Saraswati Devi began to sing because she's the most expert musician. She's the goddess of learning. So she began to sing. She sang so beautifully that everyone's heart melted. They were stunned to hear Saraswati Devi sing the glories of Radha and Krishna. And many, many gifts were given to him. Then Lord Shiva was requested to sing. Lord Shiva was a little bit hesitant to sing in front of Krishna and Srimati Radharani. But they insisted, no, you should sing. So Lord Shiva began to sing the glories of Radha and Krishna. Oh, how wonderful he sang. He sang so beautifully that everyone fell unconscious. You ever went to that type of music? Oh, he was so good, he fell unconscious. I'm talking about devotional music. He's going like this. it's transcendental music. Normally, when we like something, we go, wow, right? Our mouth just opens up. So, wow. When Lord Shiva sang the glories of the divine couple, obviously beautiful musical instruments were played and everything, everyone just fainted in ecstasy. And both the divine couple, Sri Sri Radha Vallabh, they melted in liquid form. that liquid form is Mother Ganges. It is the divine couple's liquid form upon hearing the beautiful glories of themselves sung by Lord Shiva. It's Mother Ganges. Now you understand what is Mother Ganges? One time, Lord Brahma wanted to understand the glories of Mother Ganges. And he was thinking, whom do I go to hear the glories of Mother Ganges? He thought, maybe I should go to Lord Shiva. He can tell me more glories of Mother Ganges. So when Brahma came to Lord Shiva's place, he said, Lord Shiva was busy. So he didn't say one word, he walked out of that place. And decided to go to Vaikuntha, ask the Lord himself about the glories of Mother Ganges. While he was going, there was a huge storm, like a tornado, huge storm that even blew Lord Brahma to another universe. You understand how strong that wind was? It was so strong, it blew Brahma from this planet to another planet, while he ended up standing in front of an eight-headed Brahma. So he got so confused. He asked this Brahma, who are you? And you have an eight head. Where am I? And how, I don't know, can you please explain to me? So the eight-headed Lord Brahma asked him, who are you? He said, I am a four-headed Brahma. He said, how did you end up here? He said, I don't know. I was going to Vaikuntha to understand the glories of Mother Ganges. But on the way, there was a huge storm. And I ended up in front of you. Can you please tell me something about the glories of Mother Ganges? And how did you have... And who are you? He said, I am eight-headed Brahma. And, you know, I created this planet. He said, really? So how did you get this service? He said, in my last life, I was a rat. I was a rat. And I was living in one householder's place. I was living quite peacefully. One day, a cat chased me. Out of fear of my life, and this Grihastha was living on the bank of the Ganges. And when the cat chased me, out of fear, I jumped into the water of Mother Ganges and I left my body. And as a result of that, I'm an eight-headed Brahma. He said, you want to know the glories of Mother Ganges? I don't know anything else, but if you can make some sense out of this, you can. He said, no, I would like to know more. I said, you'd like to know more? Go to Vaikuntha. He said, look, in my universe I knew the path, but this is a total new place for me. I don't know. So how do I go? So the eight-headed Brahma showed the path to the four-headed Brahma, way to Vaikuntha. Again, when Brahma started to go towards Vaikuntha, again there was a huge storm, like a tornado. And again he was flown into another universe. That Brahma had a 16 head. And same, he was surprised to be here, and they had their conversation, and then he said, how did you get the service of a 16-headed Brahma? Your universe is so big compared to mine. You see, the heads are according to the size of the universe. Our universe is the smallest. So whatever brain is needed, it all fitted in four heads. So he's managing this place. And eight heads means much bigger universe. 16 head means much more bigger. So he said, how did you get this service of Brahma? What? He said, in my last life, I was a dog. And I was eating some non-veg food. And one bone got stuck in my throat while eating. And I was eating on the bank of the Ganges. And that bone got stuck. And I left my body. As a result of dying on the bank of the Ganges, I got this 16-headed Brahman. He was surprised. How can someone die on the bank of the Ganges and get the post of Lord Brahma? He said, if you want to know more, go to Vaikuntha. So he was shown the path. Now he actually reached on the doorstep of Vaikuntha. There he saw the gatekeepers of Vaikuntha. They look exactly like Lord Vishnu. They look extremely beautiful with four hands. They look like the Lord. So Brahma asked. They had this whole conversation. I'm not going into the details. But anyway, they had this whole conversation. And then Lord Brahma asked, how did you get this service of serving the Supreme Lord directly? He said, in our previous life, we are bugs, you know, some bugs. And we were floating on a dead body on the Ganges. And by the strong current, we got swept away and we left our bodies in the water. As a result of that, we are here in Vaikuntha. Brahma, he didn't need to understand anything else. He says, okay, Hari Bol, he went back. He went back to his service. Now, please understand, and this is what Mahaprabhu's point is. We may think, oh, Brahma's post is big, four-headed Brahma, 16-headed Brahma. Prabhupada talks about Brahma with 10 million heads. These are all insignificant. How they died in the Ganga and how they went to become a Brahma, there must be some other previous stories that I don't know. But if someone dies in the Ganga, goes back to Godhead, that's the real purpose. That's the real benefit. If your ashes are thrown into the Ganges after you die and your body is burnt, you go to Vaikuntha. Simply by chanting the name of Ganga, Ganga, I don't know the distance between Ganga and Melbourne, but a distance is given. Sata yojan, 100 yojanas. So I don't know, we have to calculate that. How far is sata yojan? But scriptures say, even if you're not taking bath in the Ganga, but while taking bath in your bathroom, if you say, Ganga, Ganga, you're freed from all your sinful activities and you go to Vaikuntha. This is Mother Ganges. Mother Ganges is Jala Brahma. Jagannath is Daru Brahma. Mahaprabhu told Vidya Vachaspati, the brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, said, my dear Vidya Vachaspati, your brother is worshipping Daru Brahma, Jagannath. I'm instructing you to worship Jala Brahma, Mother Ganges. So Mother Ganges is extremely very purifying, extremely purifying. And we should not get carried away with the stories, you know. Oh, he became Brahma, he became this, he became that, he became the king. Because, you know, all these things you hear in the Ekadasi, right? You do this Ekadasi, then you get a son. You do that Ekadasi, you become rich. You do this Ekadasi, you go to heavenly planets. These are all, this It's not that these are not true, these are all facts. But our goal of life is not to become, you know, Lord Brahma or Indra, or, you know, perform Aswamedha Yajna or this and that. We want Krishna Bhakti. And all these are so insignificant compared to Krishna Bhakti. So we shouldn't get distracted. But these stories are told. If a normal person hears these stories, I must go to Ganga. And he takes bath, and he gets purified, and he gets association with the devotees, then he realizes that this is all this Brahma, this, that, it is insignificant. We don't get deviated. We feel that the real purpose, which is in the scriptures, Mahaprabhu, Puri Goswami, in Jagannath Puri, the Lord glorified Mother Ganges. Said, anyone who takes bath, anyone who drinks, he says, I tell the truth again and again. Anyone who drinks Mother Ganges water, anyone who bathes in Mother Ganges water will get Krishna prema. This is Mahaprabhu's statement in Puri. So I say this again and again. Satta satta kohi. I say this again and again. So our goal of life is not to become this or that, but to become servant of the servant of the servant of the devotees. And just simply serve Krishna and his devotees. That's all. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes, Prabhu. I was told that Mahatma Prabhu always asks questions. Yes, Prabhu. You can give a comment.
I'm told that to make advancement spiritually fast, you should have three things: Naam Rishi, Yiv Daya, and Better Seva. So I wanted to ask your personal opinion: how to develop Rishi for holiness?
You associate with those devotees who have a Rishi, who have a taste, who has some taste for the holy name. You associate with those devotees. Even if you don't have, you associate with those devotees who like chanting, you get the taste of chanting. Even if you have the taste of some chanting and you associate with someone who doesn't have chanting, then you lose that.
Because the mind is so wicked, you start chanting, you think so many things.
Association. Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Sastrika. Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha. Sarva Siddhi Hai. And you associate, you know, you sit in the kirtan. Okay? You'll see some, of course, we're not pointing at anybody, just an understanding. You'll see some devotees chanting very, very seriously. And you'll see others who does all their activities, whatever they have to do, whether it's answering email, whether, you know, drawing pictures, or whether this and that, they all do it here, you know. Well, chanting is going on. So naturally, if you sit next to somebody who is seriously chanting, you feel a little inspired. If you sit next to some people who are totally spaced out, then you have tendency to get a little spaced out. So associating with people who have that taste, it helps. Otherwise, it's like Mahaprabhu said, Durgam. Durgam apart. It's extremely difficult, Prabhu. It's extremely difficult. And as devotees, we realize that more and more. As devotees, we realize how sensitive we have to be in order to protect our devotional creeper. How protective we have to be. Extremely protective. A little bit this way, that way. We are gone before we even know. And therefore Mahaprabhu gives this whole example, you know, how we have to be careful and not to let the mad elephant come and destroy the beautiful garden of our devotional creeper. So, association.
You read.
If Prabhupada gave pure devotional service, why he first encouraged the devotees to doubt their desires in Krishna's service rather than engage in pure service? How does one move from the doubting stage to the pure stage?
Prabhupada followed Krishna's process. He followed Mahaprabhu's process. And Mahaprabhu's mood and Krishna's mood, he spread that mood. And dovetailing one's nature is exemplified and taught, especially by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. See, because we are so engrossed in material entanglement that if someone just came and told us to do pure devotional service, unalloyed pure devotional service, most of us, it would be very difficult for most of us. And therefore, keeping the goal of pure devotional service and not deviating from the principles, Prabhupada has taken step by step. Now, from day one, Prabhupada has said, this is the goal. This is what we want to achieve. It's pure, unalloyed devotional service. But sometimes, seeing some of our conditions, seeing some of our situations and circumstances, sometimes it may seem like Prabhupada is not being so direct. But it is very, very direct. Prabhupada's process is very direct. And he says it. He makes that point from day one. And he makes us also understand our weaknesses and how we need to overcome it. So from day one, Prabhupada made this whole picture extremely clear. And if we are awake, then we'll realize this is where we are, this is what Prabhupada wants. But Prabhupada, being very merciful, has engaged our nature while doing that service, because Prabhupada has asked you to do that. Things become very clear. And thing becomes, your nature of serving Krishna becomes very, very pure. Makes a little bit clear, I don't know, I'm confusing. But Prabhupada did not compromise the principle. He accepted devotees, engaged them in Krishna's service. Of course, the pure state is whatever is given to you, you do that service. But knowing that you may be good at something, knowing maybe, you know, this is your nature, that nature is utilized in Krishna service. But our ultimate is like, okay, if I'm asked to do puja, I'll do the puja. If I'm asked to sweep the road, I'll sweep the road. If I'm asked to do, you know, clean the bathroom or clean the bathroom, is serving to Krishna. So that comes at a later stage. The process is there, and he brings us closer to that. But from day one, Prabhupada makes it very, the process, he makes it very clear. He makes the goal very, very clear. And if you're awake, then we also know where we are. You want to add something?
Say that the consciousness, you know,
service, initially the consciousness may not be pure. Say you keep them.
End here to ask me, isn't it late? How do you stay humble in?
How do you stay humble when you have a full knowledge, some knowledge, some expertise, skills in different varieties of stuff?
If you read and study the scriptures, it opens your eyes, and when you, the more you study about the Lord and His devotees, you realize how insignificant you are. Just reading the glories of Murari Gupta Prabhu, how glorious he was. At the same time, the Lord, it's past, Lord's pastime, the last one that we spoke today about, how the Lord was upset because he was reading some Yoga Sastra by Vaishishta. How the Lord chastised him. How Murari Gupta Prabhu took that chastisement. The whole pastime, when you read and read over and over again, you really realize how I am so, like, I haven't even started my devotional service. Just like taking the gist in the beginning age, just the starting point. And see, I came to ISKCON when I was 9 years old, 1983. It's been almost 32 years. And the more I read about Mahaprabhu's pastime, the more I read about the pastime of his associates, he really makes you feel like, it just makes you so insignificant, and you really feel from your heart. And you realize that you have a long, long way to go. There is no scope for ego. There is no place in devotional service where you feel you have achieved something. Absolutely no place for pride, for ego, to feel you have done something. In pure devotional service, there is absolutely no space for that. And the more you associate, the more you read, the more you chant, that realization will come. So it's the other way around. If you don't chant, if you don't associate, if you don't read Srila Prabhupada's books, then there is a possibility of becoming proud. But if you actually associate, if you actually study, if you do service, there is no scope. And if by chance, by accident, some impurities come in your heart, and then you have some feeling, oh, you have achieved something, then you just surrender to the senior devotees and just say that, you know, I know 100 slokas, I feel like I have done something now, so please help me, why this attitude, why this mood is coming. But even in normal, there is a statement, no? Vidya Vinaya Dadati. The knowledge, Vidya, gives humility. And what to speak about devotees? Even, you know, Einstein, what did he say? You know, he's like, I had to just say, like a sand on the beach, that's my knowledge. That's, he's a, you know, he's not a devotee. Because he, you know, he felt those a God. So devotees, our, as soon as you come, you know, from in India, I can give you an example of Bengal, Banerjee means the title Banerjee, or Bandopadhyay, or Chatterjee, or Chattopadhyay, or Brahmins, right? And that, say your name is Krishna Chatterjee, means as soon as you tell someone I'm a Chatterjee, they know you're a Brahmin. In Bengal, I don't know about South India or other parts. In Bengal, if you're a Banerjee, you're a Brahmin. What happens to you the first day you come to ISKCON? So your name is Krishna Banerjee. What happens to you when you come to ISKCON? You become Krishna Das. The first thing, Brahmana Hari Bol, you're a Das. First thing you become is a servant. And you remain servant. And the more you develop in devotional service, it should make you more humble. It should make you more polite. It should make you more, not artificially, but very genuinely. And that will come. When you chant Hare Krishna with the devotees, Satchinanda Maharaj says that Krishna reveals through the kirtan in such an amazing way, it's like a revolution in the heart. What is that revolution in the heart when you chant with the devotees? You realize you're so insignificant, but the Lord is so merciful that He has come in the form of the holy name. Prabhupada says, given an opportunity to chant Hare Krishna means given an opportunity to associate with the Supreme Lord. So having that feeling that Prabhupada has given us the opportunity to chant, how humbling is that? Normally say, oh, how big I am, I have met the Supreme Lord. The devotee feels, how humbling is that, that I'm able to chant the holy name, I'm able to serve the devotees. So more you chant, more you study, the more you do service, it's supposed to make you more humble. If it's not making you humble, then maybe the attitude or the approach may not be the right. Maybe you're doing cooking or whatever service you may be doing. If it's not humbling you, can you imagine you cooking for Krishna? Who gets the service to cook for Krishna? My God, and you having that service. How humbling is that? You get to clean the floor. Yesterday I saw Mataji was cleaning the thing. Who does that? Tell me, in Vaikuntha, who does that?
Lakshmi
Devi does it. Who makes the flower garlands? The gopis make the flower garlands. They're not this high-tech computer, you know, where everyone has their own office and doing computer. No, everyone's doing menial service, making garlands, cooking, and it's... And we have that intimate service. Prabhupada gave us the intimate service of Brajadham. I mean, you know, how humbling is that? The Prabhupada has given the essence, Golokera Premadhan, Harinam Sankirtan. He has given the essence, chanting Hare Krishna, doing intimate service to the Lord. So intimate. And we're able to serve Krishna and his devotees. I was thinking, you know, one time Krishna was given a rice with ghee, a lot of ghee. So Krishna's Mother Yashoda says, Krishna, eat. Krishna is not eating, he's just giving to everybody else, you know. He's eating something, giving to everybody else. And Mother Yashoda's like, Krishna, why aren't you eating? So Mother Mangal says, my dear Mother Yashoda, please understand, Krishna doesn't have a strong digestive power to eat these things made with ghee. But I am a brahmana. What you should do, Mother, should give all the items cooked with ghee to me. And I will eat. And since Krishna has a low digestive power, but you know he needs to perform activity, he needs to walk around, so he needs some energy. So what I'll do, after eating, I'll give him a big hug. And with that hug, I will put my energy into Krishna. And then you'll be able to walk around. So hearing this, Krishna just takes all his prasad and just gives it to him. And Madhu Mangal is eating, and then he's hugging Krishna, and Krishna's like, yeah, I got the energy. This associates of Krishna comes in Mahaprabhu's pastimes. All these associates come in Mahaprabhu's pastimes. They're opening the door, calling us. Who's opening the door? The Lord with his associates opens the door, invites us to get into that internal realm. Circle. How humbling is that? Where is the space? Where is the scope of feeling like, you know, I have become something? There is absolutely no place in, you know, for pride in devotional service. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sai Bhakti Gaura Bhakti. Bhaktavrinda ki, Itai Gautamanande. Thank you all. Hare Krishna. Mathura Prabhu. Mahaprabhu.
Can you ask? Jai Ji.